This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Josh Satin, who I got to be familiar with over at SNY for a couple of years. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing great, Sal.
Move up to the mic there. Come on, rookie.
I'm sorry. I've only done TV. I've never done radio with you. I'm doing great. It's great to be with you. Great to see you. It's been, 10 years, I guess, since we started at SNY together.
Yeah, so what were you doing? I don't remember. I was not hosting the show, don't think, at that time.
I was just doing it, having fun. It was something. I have some family here, and they asked me to go on a couple times, and I loved it. And then you and I were kind of just like panelists. Doug was the host then.
Right, okay, right.
And, we kind of hit it off, and, I've been following you, and your career's taken off. It's great.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. You're right. It has taken off.
It really has. I think you were doing, I think when we were working together, and not that we were working that much, I would do like 10 to 15 shows a year, but you got like the gig on the night shift here.
Right. And now look at you. The overnight. Well, now we made it.
Now look at you now.
Yeah, and then who knows? I could be going back soon. Craig Carton might be returning. All right, but either way, so you're in town for David Wright. Now, tell everybody what you were supposed to be doing today, but you chose to come hang out with me instead.
That is true. I was going to play golf with a certain ex-teammate of mine. And it was Matt Harvey. And I decided going out to Jersey to play golf, I'd rather hang with you, Sal.
Sandy, I love this. Make sure it's on the record. Let Big Harv know about it. Josh Satin chose to be here with me instead of playing golf with Harv. Now, are you playing later today?
I'm not playing golf. Okay. I'm hanging with him. I'll have dinner with him and whatnot, but I am not going to play golf.
He's the man, too, by the way. He's been at SNY within the last year or so.
Yeah, he's the best. He and I, the last 2-3 years, have reconnected and are in touch a lot.
All right, so now I wanted you, we talked about this a week ago, I wanted you to come in studio even before I started reading all the stories about Wright this week that are in the Post, and you've been quoted in something like, I knew you were close friends with Wright. I didn't know about this night where you were walking to the subway and he stopped by and picked you up in the car. And I'm assuming that's the beginning. Take me through what went on, how you developed that friendship with David Wright.
Yeah, it really started from the beginning. I mean, David, I got drafted in 2008, and David at that point was, the face of the franchise already. What's funny is we're not that dissimilar in age. I stayed 5 years in college due to too many injuries. And so by the time I got drafted, I was 22. I think he's 2 years older than me. He was 24, but he already had, 3 or 4 years in the big leagues. And I was starting out in rookie ball. And so he would speak and at some of the minor league stuff. And most people were scared to talk to him, ask him questions. On the Q&A, I was always like, so what do you think about this? I was willing to pick his brain. Everyone else was terrified of him. And then when I got called up in 2011, we just kind of had a lot in common other than the fact that I was praying to be on the team and he was, top five player in the league. But otherwise, we had a lot in common. And, we kind of just hit it off. And then, throughout my time on the team, we built a good friendship. But it really, he moved to L.A. or to California, towards the end of his career in the offseason. And when he first moved, this was probably 2016, 2017. He didn't know a single person there. And so we spent a lot of time together, and we still do. But that's really where our friendship went.
All right, moreover. And then what about that night specifically where you talk about?
So that was in the beginning, and that was just him being him. I'll never forget it. I've never actually mentioned it to him afterwards because I don't like to you know, compliment him too much. Everyone always does it.
It goes to his head, yeah.
Well, it's not even that. It's just like everyone's always, you know, complimenting him and kissing his ass all day. So like,
it's probably why he likes you. So
exactly.
Much.
No, that is, I learned that very, very quickly. I'll never forget. I was walking to the train station. They used to put us up at the Marriott Marquis. I don't know if they still do. Or you could stay at this hotel in Queens. And I didn't know if I was going to be on the team for 1 week or, you know, 5 years. So I was like, I'm staying in Manhattan, right? Like, I'm not staying in Queens when I've never been in this city before and whatever. So I took the Marriott Marquis. They don't tell you how to get home. And so I just was going to go take the train and figure it out. And I was walking there and he drove by and was like, where are you going? And I told him. He's like, get in. And it's not a quick drive into the city, even at like 11. So we spent like, we talked for like 45 minutes and that was kind of the beginning. And it was crazy to me because you don't know who people are, what people are all about. And I didn't think a guy like him would just pick up a random guy who was, you know, it was September call-ups. I was probably like the 38th guy on the roster at the time. But you know, that kind of was indicative of what he was all
now,
about.
Now, what was that conversation like in the car? Because I'm thinking, oh my God, like you're comfortable with yourself. You're a big leaguer. However you got there, it doesn't matter. You're a big leaguer at that point. And like you said, you're not going to talk to David and look up to him like he's some god, which I'm sure, you know, earned his respect. But still, I'm thinking, I'm in the car with David, right? Like that could be an awkward, uncomfortable situation.
Yeah. All I remember is I like really wanted to ask him about like what it was like being 24 and the, you know, probably the second highest profile baseball player in New York City. And I think I did towards the end when I got more comfortable. But I think in the beginning it was just like, you know, kind of he was like getting to know me. But I remember that was like, I was, you know, I wanted to hear about women. I wanted to hear about this and that. And I think towards the end I like had the stones to ask him a few like real questions. But really it was just getting to know him.
Was there a drop-off or did you guys go out afterward? Come on.
No, there was a drop-off.
Oh, okay.
David, he's not the same as others that we've played with over the years. He's a mellower guy.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he'll have fun and whatever, but
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It was a serious, like, he wasn't sacrificing his play to have, you know, fun at night.
So the opposite of Harvey.
Well, I'm not going to.
Hey, you don't have to. I know it. We all know it. I mean, it's not a knock. Hey, some guys live the way Harv did, and I love that guy. So, and I love David Wright too.
Yeah, they're different for sure. David was a very like he still is. I mean, he did everything like, you know, by the book in a very right way, which, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do it. Like Matt is.
He was on top of the baseball world.
Yeah, he was the best. Yeah. And both of them were successful in their own way. So, but David was there. It wasn't like he would go out and have like a beer, but like he wasn't, and he's also back then for sure, a little more guarded too, and didn't want to like put himself in a position where anyone would see or say anything negative.
What do you think? We're talking about Josh Shatton in studio tomorrow. David Wright's number five, going to be retired forever out at Citi Field. What do you think made David such a special leader?
I just think he had the ability to be one of the guys while also commanding respect, which I think is like a hard thing to do. You know, I think it's, he could mix it up. He could joke around. You could joke around with him. But at the end of the day, like everyone respected him as a man and as a player because he did everything the right way. I mean, I remember one of my first like couple weeks in the big leagues, you know, we had a 7 o'clock game, game's over at 10, you have dinner. And then most guys would shower and go home. Like he was in the gym and at like 11:30. And I was like, if he's doing it, what am I doing? You know? And I think other guys, like I remember Murph used to like do it too. And I, you know, I guarantee part of it was because he saw David doing it. And it was those kind of things where you like look at a guy that, you know, we were on game 150 and he's still like grinding at 11:30 at night in the gym, doing what he has to do to get ready for, you know, game 151. And so like, it's those little things that, you know, I don't think every superstar was doing.
Where were you at in 2015? And I only ask that because I'm sure you were there for part of the buildup from him, right? You played with the Mets from 11 through 14. Had actually an impactful 2013. That was your best year in the big leagues.
Yeah.
You hit, I have it up here, 3 homers. You hit 280 on the year, and you played in 75 games. So that's a nice chunk that you had in 13. But obviously, Wright had to deal with the injuries and then the, you know, coming back to the World Series. Yeah. Where were you at in 2015?
So I got designated in 2014, claimed by Cincinnati. And that year was a disaster for me. I got hurt in spring training. It just never worked out for me. But I wasn't with this organization. I was with the Reds.
Right, but so you stayed with the Reds the entire 2015?
Yeah.
Were you there when the Mets clinched to go to the win the division in 2015? Or you don't remember that? It was in Cincinnati.
I was on the DL the whole year.
Okay.
I missed the entire season. I was in and out of like rehabbing in AAA. It was a disaster. So I wasn't there.
So you didn't, did you appreciate at least from afar?
Yeah, I went to, I mean, so I was like, you know, with between David and Daniel Murphy and, you know, Matt and, and all these guys, like I came up with these guys. Like, I mean, I didn't come up with David, but like, I, you know, I've known these guys a long time. So Murph actually convinced me to go to two of the playoff games in LA, which I never would do. But like, I took my dad, like a big Dodger fan. And, I was obviously rooting for the Mets, but, so I followed and I knew, and I was into it. Cause these are like the guys that I, you know, came up with and loved.
So you did get to watch, at least from afar, right, experiencing that. You keep referencing saying the right way, the right way. You know, SNY premiered the right way last night. Did you see this yet?
I haven't seen it. I interviewed for it. I don't even know if I'm in it.
You are.
Joe sent it to me.
Joe Krause.
Joe Krause, yeah. I haven't been able to watch it because I've been traveling. But I've seen some of the clips and whatnot.
Dude, it is so good.
Is it?
I think it's one of the best that they did. Yeah, and for me, now you know me.
Yeah.
Well, real time, I'm going to rip you guys. Like, that's just how it is. Yeah. I remember with you, it was like, oh, geez. Lucas Suda, Ike Davis, Josh Satin. Can you get one first baseman? You got three of these guys. Give me Jose Abreu. So that was what I was saying back then. And same thing with David Wright. And I told this to David's face, like in 2006, I was more disappointed. He was the golden boy, could do no wrong. I don't think he was good enough in the 2006 postseason. But years, and obviously he got better as time went on. He had a great career. I don't think I appreciated it enough in real time, especially with the ups and downs with him. Not just the performances, but the collapse in 07 by the Mets. Same thing again in 2008. And then when you start getting into the injury stuff with him, but then building it back up, the way that he was as a person. Dude, to me, there is no more arguing. I always looked at it as Seaver, Piazza. I think it's Seaver and David Wright, and I don't think anybody's going to surpass that. Forget the records. Lifelong Met, what he gave to the franchise, how he represented the franchise, the respect that he had, and the production. I think David Wright's the greatest Met outside of Tom Seaver.
I agree. I'm not old enough to like know Tom Seaver that well.
He's just the franchise.
No, I know who he is, obviously. Yeah, obviously I know who he is. But to
you know
see
who Carl Hubble is. The answer was no, you didn't. Who the hell's that? Anyway, okay.
It's so funny with Piazza, because I grew up in Los Angeles, like I think Piazza was a Dodger. And like when I came here, and I think Mike thinks he's a Met. But like I grew up where, you know, he won the Rookie of the Year. Like Mike was one of the best Dodgers of my childhood. And it's funny to me to hear like people say best Met ever because, you know, half his career was with the Dodgers. And, and as a fan and as a kid, like I still, now I think of him as a Met because I'm around it all the time. But as someone from LA, like his stint with the Mets didn't even resonate with me. He was a Dodger. So like I say that because like obviously David was here for 15 years.
Yeah.
And I think, I wasn't in the organization at the time, but I do think like his first 5 years, and he had a lot of good years after that, but David's first 5 years I think are underappreciated because I mean he should have won at least one MVP. I mean, I think he was a top three player in baseball for his first 5 years. And I'm not limiting it to 5 years, but those first 5 years were ridiculous.
Did he ever talk to you about the difficulties in the ballpark? To me, that was the thing that really screwed him. Because I remember going into the 2009 season, first year at Citi Field, I'm like, this is his MVP year. He was getting close. This is going to be the MVP year. And then just the ballpark, I think, really did him in that year where he had 10 homers. He recovered years after that, but then the injuries started making a part of that. He ever talked to you about the difficulties of Citi Field versus Shea?
He has, but I can tell you as a former player, like I know exactly what was going through his mind. There's nothing worse than... So as a hitter, and David, again, like I say this loosely because he was obviously like a multi-time All-Star and I barely played in the big leagues, but like we had a similar hitting style where we wanted to go the other way. And if you hit your best bullet right center field, and not only is it not a homer, but it's an out, like that's mentally draining. And I think that's what happened. I know that's what happened to him. And you know, it's one thing for it not to be a homer, but instead of it being a homer, you're 0-for-1. All of a sudden, like you start to try to pull things, you feel like you can't do what you've always been doing, and you know the best hitters, in my opinion, always go the other way, and can drive the ball to the opposite field, and so I think that played a huge part in his challenges that year. I'm sure like we don't need to get into this player, but like Jason Bay was an example. Like I think it just destroyed him too.
But Citi Field was supposed to play to his strength, so why do you think it destroyed him?
Because I do think that like he was trying to hit the ball the other way to stay on pitches and they weren't homers and they were outs. And I do think like, and it doesn't take like a mentally weak person to do that. This is just human nature.
Did you play with Bay or he was gone?
I played with him for
2011.
Okay. And I got to know him well. He's a super nice guy.
Yeah. You know what? He was one of the guys I took it easy on because you could see.
Oh, he cared. It just didn't work out, obviously. Yeah. But I do think like baseball is such a mental game, and I think that a lot of people, even executives in the business, they take that for granted, how much like the mental psyche of hitting comes into play. And when you think you've won, but then meaning like hit something well, but you've actually lost, and it happens over and over and over again, like human nature is I'm going to make a change, and the change is not a good change because what you were doing was right, just the field didn't play into what you were supposed to do.
Well, you just didn't get the right results.
Yeah,
we're in studio talking with Josh Satin here. We'll take a break. We'll come back with your calls, by the way. Josh, tell me, big sports fan here. Loves Jackson Dart, big Lakers fan, but went to a Knicks postseason game. We'll get into the fantasy football and those things coming up. 888-808-1019. You could also call and talk about David Wright or ask him about his big league career, what it was like to play with the Mets, whatever's on your mind. But before we break, I want to get some insight into the road rage story that you talked about, where you're driving with David. Yeah. I read about this in the Post yesterday. I think Vaccaro had it. Somebody had it in the Post. It was a great article. And talking about somebody cut off you guys and then realized David was the driver. Give me some insight to what was going on there.
Yeah, so after he picked me up that first day, like he was like, I'll take you whenever. And so I was like, all right, I'll go with you every day.
Yeah. Obviously.
I just remember one time, and he didn't do anything wrong driving, I don't think. I don't really remember exactly what happened, but I do remember, how people in New York are like, people in LA are like this too, but people in New York, if something happens there, and I remember some guy, they kind of had an incident. They didn't crash or anything, but and some guy was like flipping him off, like double bird flipping him off, and then all of a sudden realized, like looked in and was like, and I just remember the look on the guy's face was like, it went from like, I want to, kill you to I love you. And like literally a heartbeat. And that was when I was like, all right, it's obviously knew David was like, a very, influential person in the city, but that was what like made me laugh. That was like, all right, this guy's, it's different with him in this city and people, a crazy New York driver, like just flips on a dime when he sees who it is.
And how was David handling that? Cause I know he's the greatest guy ever. Everybody talks about his kindness, but he's also a fiery competitor. Did he
get... I don't remember. I just do remember that like he just like brushed it off. I mean, he was different. He's different in, although we do play a lot of golf together and he's a fiery, he can get fiery, but like in life, he's not like he was on the field. Like he's more mellow.
Were you there when he tossed Syndergaard's lunch?
I was not there.
Whoa. I mean, that's fiery. Come on. You love that about
yeah,
David.
Yeah, for sure. But life-wise, like he's a mellow guy.
He's still able to play golf even with the back issues?
Yeah. I mean, I'm like 30 to 50 yards farther than him off the tee. But
I want to bring that up to him. When
please do. He'll say it's more like 15 to 30, but it's like, you know, whatever. But he's actually a good golfer. Okay. We started after like, it's probably like 5 years ago, we both started playing golf. And we're pretty close. He's probably slightly better than me. And the only reason is like, he doesn't have a job. And, you know, he's practicing 4 times a week. I'm going to an office and working a job. But we do like play a decent amount together.
So you started just 5 years ago, both of you guys playing golf? You didn't play when you were playing?
No. You know, there was like an old adage, like golf is bad for your swing. I think it's not true now that I play a lot of golf. But so for me, like the only, you know, my only skill set in baseball was hitting.
Right.
And so like I wasn't going to do anything that like could potentially jeopardize that. So I didn't play golf until probably like 2019.
So what happened your year with Cincinnati in 15? You were going to be with the big league team, but you just got hurt?
I had a concussion in spring training. And it just didn't, like, I just didn't have a great spring training. I had to sit out, and then I basically didn't play the whole year.
And then that was it for you?
I went, yeah, I mean, at that time I was 30. I was coming off a bad 2014 also.
And you only got in 25 games in 2014.
Yeah, I made the team in 2014, and I was a platoon player, and I had, like, one start in, like, the first, like, 35 games. It was because we didn't face a lefty. Yeah. It wasn't like any, like,
okay.
And I just like was so out of sync. And I pinch hit every day. And
that's tough, pinch hit.
Yeah, it was horrible.
You go your whole, I'm assuming your whole life coming up, you were the best player on your team.
Yeah,
raking, of course. And mashing. And you get to the big leagues and it's like, hey, you're going to play, you'll pinch hit, maybe play a day, a week, or whatever it is when you get the opportunity. It sucks because you got to make the most of your opportunities, but it's.
Exactly. It was hard. I mean, I like now that I'm older and looking back, I would have done things differently and just like prepared differently. I was like a very rhythmy, twitchy hitter. And it just like, that year I just couldn't figure it out. The year before, like I was pinch hitting a lot too, but I was also playing a lot and I was doing well. When you're doing well, like you're relaxed. You know, the pinch hits are like, you know, it's not life or death. When you're like, you know, 2 for 20 and you get a pinch hit opportunity, you know, in my mind, it's like life or death.
If I don't get a hit, I'm going back to the minors.
Yeah, exactly. So that year didn't work out. And then, you know, I sat out and I basically didn't play the whole year in 2015. I played a little bit in the minors on rehab stints. And then I signed with San Diego in 2016, got sent to AAA. I was like, it was the first time in my life where I wasn't playing every day. And I couldn't even be mad about it. Like Rod Barajas,
sure.
He was our manager in AAA.
And I played with catcher,
him.
Right?
Yeah. I played with him. I think he was our backup catcher in 2011.
Yeah. Okay.
And like we would, like my whole life, and this never happened to me where I was never like a starter, but except in the big leagues, but it, you know, I was like, I wasn't playing that much in AAA. And you know, it's not a good thing when you're like, what am I can't even go to Rod and say, what the hell, dude? Because I wasn't good. They were better than me and younger and whatever. So that's when I knew it was time to go.
How tough was that to make that decision?
It actually wasn't that tough. My wife was pregnant at the time. It had been a tough couple years, which was interesting about baseball. Like 2013, like I thought I was like, you know, I'm in. Like I'm here for 5 years. Like,
right.
You know, I hit well. The team likes me. Like, you know, all of a sudden, like the next couple years were tough. So it wasn't that. There was a lot of things I missed, but it wasn't that hard for me to get away because I was so mentally drained from like just wanting it so bad and it not working out.
And now you have to settle for beating D-Dub's ass on the golf course.
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.